It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Larry's on the line. Good morning, Larry.
Yeah, good morning, and welcome to this wonderful time of July. July has really been interesting so far. I'll say more about the happenings in a few minutes, but first let's take a look at the weather. It is our hottest month, and according to the forecast, we're going to be seeing some hot in the next few days. However, so far in the first third of the month, we have had a high temperature of only 85, which is not so terribly hot. Low has been 52. The average is just a little bit above normal. The precipitation, I think, has been interesting. The Weather Service has recorded about 2 inches of rain so far in July, when normal is about 1.5 inches. Now, at my house, we have just a little over 3 inches of rain. I was very glad to see that because I think we are still getting over the drought of last year, and it hasn't left entirely. So the more rain, the better. Weather seems to be the talk of the summer. And as I said, we're going to have some heat, but I put it in perspective. Okay, are you ready? This is the anniversary, the 90-year anniversary of the hottest week ever recorded in Duluth. Now, I'm going to go down the 7 days and say what the high temperature for each of those 7 days were. Starting with July 7, 1936, it was 100 degrees. On the 8th, it was 98. On the 9th, it was 98. On the 10th, it was 95. On the 11th, it was 92. On the 12th, 102. And on the 13th, 106. The hottest temperature ever recorded in Duluth. Now, to make matters more amazing, in those days, temperatures were taken down by the lake and not up over the hill. So, wow, what a hot week, and that was in 1936. So think of that when we have some heat coming up this week. Those 90-year-old records are still records that haven't been, one of them was tied, but none of them have been exceeded since then. The days are getting shorter as we pass the solstice. Right now, we're having sunrise approaching 5:30 in the morning, way later than what was earlier at solstice time. And sunsets is approaching 9 o'clock in the evening. Once again, getting a little bit shorter. We were at 9:07. Okay, this is an interesting time. And as I said last week, we had aphelion this past week. That was on July 6th, and that is the time in which, as we take our trip around the sun, we are most furthest away from the sun, despite the heat. Yeah, it's because of the angle that we are absorbing the sunlight. The bird migration, yeah, there is some migration happening. I think I mentioned last time, and I'll repeat it this time, that birds such as swallows, especially tree swallows, and sandpipers are getting restless, and they will start to congregate and slowly move to the south. There is certainly no hurry when migration starts this early. But a good thing to keep in mind, well, just about a month from now, Hawk Ridge will start counting the migrants. So the season is moving on. This week, I saw several fledglings, the birds that have grown up enough to leave the nest. Sometimes they look a great deal like the adult, but a lot of times they don't. I had a robin in the yard this week, and you could tell that it was not an adult. It had spots on it. It had a tail that wasn't as long. But these are the fledglings. There are other birds that it takes a longer time to grow. A good example are the hawks and owls. They are slow in growing. And then there are the precocial ones, the water birds that are in the water swimming as soon as they hatch. Among the mammals, we have had movements of bears and deer and cottontail rabbits, lots of young ones, squirrels and coyotes calling. This is a good thing for this time of year. And then among the amphibians and reptiles, There is the summer frogs, they're still calling. I heard them on my walk this morning. That's the mink frog and the green frog. The other frogs that have bred earlier in the season are now metamorphosed. And during this time of July, from now until maybe a couple weeks from now, tiny frogs and toads that have emerged from the vernal ponds. These are eggs that were deposited this spring. Okay, in addition to that, I've noticed down at the lake a lot of little turtles are swimming around. The painted turtles are interesting. The eggs are laid usually in June, going up on shore and digging a hole and laying eggs. When the eggs hatch, the babies don't emerge. They stay there until next spring. So the little turtles that I've been seeing this week are ones that probably hatched and spent the winter in the nest before coming there today during this time. Among insects, July is the butterfly month, and there continues to be a variety of butterflies. Some are very colorful. Monarchs are a good example. Fritillaries, which are also an orange and black butterfly, very common in the fields. They're plentiful right now, as well as tiny skippers and crescents. These are all rather colorful butterflies, but there's also the ones that are not very colorful. The brown ones, as I mentioned last time, but it's worth repeating, the northern pearly eye is a middle-sized butterfly. It seems to like hanging around population areas, because I frequently having them around my house. They are a brown butterfly, and the brown butterflies are more likely to be seen in the woods, or in this case, around some shrubs, some buildings. And they don't take nectar like the other butterflies do. They feed mostly on rotted material. This is also a good time to see a variety of dragonflies. During my walk this morning, I saw a couple of kinds. Chalk-fronted corporals are the black and white ones from June. Yeah, there's still a lot of those around. And the colorful calico pennants are around. And then I had a sighting of a dragonfly, a type of skimmer. Sympetrum is the Latin name. These are, I always associate with late season dragonflies, and I saw one already this week. And anytime there is these, there's going to be a lot of other insects. Fireflies are out after 10 o'clock at night. The bees have remained active. The hornets and the wasps are active. And when those are out there, we're going to have spiders. And spider webs have been getting better all the time. I have been watching one near my house. It's just fascinating. Comes out, the web is made large. Oh, it must be at least a foot in diameter. And the spider that makes it is a big, large spider called a lichen spider, because their bodies have a coloring, something like the lichens on trees. And it will come out and make its web at dusk. Last night, I saw it in its web at 10 o'clock. I came back this morning and the web was completely gone. Now, does that mean something attacked it? No, not at all. Most likely what happened is that the spider took down its own web. Yes, it ate its own web. It seems a bit weird, but why would a spider do that? Well, if it didn't take down the web, it would be a way of showing predators that there is a possible meal here. So they hide their own web. A very interesting spider. And early in the season, many of the spiders have yet to make their webs. They would be so. August is always the month for spiders. But I did see on my walk this morning, I did see many other kinds of spider webs. The trees are interesting. The blossom thing, of course, was done earlier in the season, but we got a couple. One large and one small that are still blossoming now. The small ones are the sumacs, and we have lots of those. We have two kinds of sumacs in our area. We have the smooth sumac, and we have the staghorn sumac, and they are with a kind of a greenish flower. Then we have the big basswood trees. Basswood trees save their blossoming for this time. The flowers are not very showy. They're kind of a greenish yellow, but they are full of nectar. And if we don't notice them, certainly the bees and the other nectar-feeding insects will, because sometimes you walk by a basswood tree in bloom and it just buzzes with activity. Also, July is the time when the berries start to show up. And yesterday I had a wonderful example of that during a single walk right in my own neighborhood here. I found and ate four kinds of ripe berries. They were blueberry, raspberry, Juneberry, and elderberry. Get out and take a look. July is when the berries will start showing up. The wildflowers are fascinating. The summer wildflowers are just amazing. Every day I've been seeing more of them. The list goes on and on and on, but I'm not going to mention all of them. I'll just mention a few that are in bloom now. Thistle, sweet clover, both yellow and white, black-eyed Susan. Early sunflowers have just started this week. Cow parsnip, and that's an interesting flower. It's a very big, tall flower that has a flat white umbel at the top. Many people who see it call it Queen Anne's lace, but it's much bigger than Queen Anne's lace. Well, they're in bloom in many places along the road right now. It's hard to not see them in many, many sites. Water hemlock, another white one. There's a lot of leftovers from the yarrow and the daisies that are still in bloom. Out in the waters, there's the white water lilies, there's the yellow pond lilies, and along the shore, there has just been a big growth in the last few days of arrowhead. Arrowhead gets its name because the leaves are shaped like an arrowhead, and they have only three petals, but the petals are big and white and fairly easy to see along the shore. Ferns are still thriving in the woods thanks to the recent rains, and thanks to the recent rains, we are getting some mushrooms. I won't talk about all of them, but I'll just mention a few of note. One of the ones that is often noticeable at this time is a big white mushroom that grows on the sides of logs and trees, referred to often as the oyster mushroom. And then there is another very colorful orange and yellow one that grows on logs and trees called the chicken of the woods by many people. I prefer to call it the sulfur shelf fungus. And then there is one, a yellow one that grows on the ground that once again is often sought at, called a chanterelle. I found the first of those this week as well. Many other kind. There's lots of coral. Looks like a little shrub growing on the sides of logs. So plenty of fungi out there thanks to the recent rains. Within a week, we are going to see some interesting things. I expect we'll see the first goldenrods of the season, which is an indication, of course, that the seasons are moving on. So if you're a person who enjoys heat, enjoy these next few days. But like I say, put it in perspective compared to what it has been. So take care and have a good one.
Thanks a lot, Larry. That is Larry Weber. Larry's an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.